This is the Telstra AFL Trade Radio Podcast. Subscribe now on iTunes. Welcome to The Early Trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and Tyrepower, the first pick of all list managers.
Good to have your company on the second last day of Telstra AFL Trade Radio 2019. Telstra, Australia's largest mobile network with greater reliability and faster speeds in more places. Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett with you on the early trade for Tyrepower. And as I say hello to you, Matthew Lloyd, it is the last time I say hello to you on Trade Period 2019 because you're off to the States tomorrow.
I do feel a little bit guilty, Damo. It's like I've played all year with you. I've done the home and away rounds.
We played all right too.
We're at preliminary final day.
Become a key member of the team.
And I'm leaving you
in the lurch.
But I reckon you're such a powerful player that you can hold down the fort, full forward, centre forward, play both roles a bit. Like, I'm like the Tom Lynch or Jack Freelot or vice versa, but you can do both roles.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. And look, I'd have a bigger problem with it if you were going away on a boys' trip, but I know you're going away on business, so I can slightly tolerate it.
That's right, but you know what, Dame? I'd never had the courage to speak to my wife about going on a trip like this until you, over the last, well, how many years have you gone to New York?
A few.
So I said, Damo does it, and one of the most honourable men I've ever met. So she said, okay, that you helped get to get this trip over.
You're now not even hiding behind the fact this is a boys' trip. Is that what you're saying?
No, she knows it's a boys' trip. But
I thought it was a business trip to LA and Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. She's got some property development
areas he's got to look at,
so I'm just supporting him as well.
How many other boys you want to put in?
Yeah, so are the McVeigh brothers.
Yep.
Jared McVeigh, it's his retirement trip after retiring from the Swans.
Right, okay. Mark
McVeigh's just taking his team to the grand final, but I'm going to console him after the way they played on grand final day.
Yep. There for your mate.
Kale Hooker.
Yep. What's he going for?
Just before, he relaunches for a big preseason with the Bombers. With no Danaher, he's going to have to carry the forward line next year, we think.
Right.
Monfries, he just played
for
Castle Maine and they didn't win a game for the season, so I'm helping him out.
Yep.
Joel Reynolds.
Joel Reynolds.
I think he just changed jobs, so we're working into it.
And what are they going to be helping you with? You just need to get over here too.
We've spoken 24 hours of trade, and there's about three trades that have happened, so they're supporting me through that day.
Well, you've still got until 9 o'clock Melbourne time today, Lordo, to make an impact and to make sure we do get through to the grand final. So that's off tomorrow. Yeah. So I think Mitch Clear will be filling in your chair, but if I don't get to say a proper goodbye on the trade radio perspective, it has been really enjoyable. Lotto, we begin today, though, with the Saints. The situation hasn't changed, although movement is afoot, and it obviously needs to be given that the deadline now looms at 7:30 tomorrow night. But ultimately, it still stays the same. Five players want to come into Moorabbin. They need to clear out two, and I say need to because they're not going to get all five in if they don't clear out the two. And then they had the curveball component of yesterday's news of Ben King staying at the Gold Coast Suns. It is all tied up because of the planning around what was going to happen with Ben King this time next year, with what was going to be required. They've got greater scope now, although they don't want, by way of an ideal world for the Saints, go into the offerings on the draft pick numbers for next year's draft in order to bring in Bradley Hill, Zach Jones, Paddy Ryder, Dougal Howard, and then Butler also from the Tigers. And the two that need to come out in order for that to happen are Jack Stephen and Josh Bruce. So overnight, I know you've been working the phones, as we all have. Is there any update in your eyes as to how this goes down?
Oh, well, there's been some reports about, you know, multiple clubs getting involved, obviously Port Adelaide and St Kilda getting involved to try and help each other get the deals done. But an issue is that both Jack Stephen getting away from to Geelong, that seems to be a real issue. Stephen Wells adamant, we're hearing, Dave, I'm sure if you've heard that 37, he doesn't feel is fair for Jack Stephen, so doesn't want to part with that one. And then
just to jump in there, we may as well do it individually. If he doesn't want to go at 37, 93 is too late. And then as you've been saying throughout the 2.5 weeks of Trade Radio, Lotto, obviously it then depends on how much cash that the Cats are prepared to take on with Jack Stephen's contract. Mm. So the Saints, I think, is a realisation they're going to have to need to pay some. The greater draft pick number in return, I think, would mitigate the need for the Cats to pay as much as the Saints would like them to?
I think the Cats would love to marry up so many of those picks. They've got pick 14, 17, 24, 36, 37. So their play may be to marry up a couple of those picks up together and then suddenly get a really high pick in the draft. So,
do you still think they might do that before close of play tomorrow?
So, yeah, that's just to get as high as possible, see if they can get... Yeah, I look at their list, Geelong, and we'll get back to St Kilda in a sec, but Nakia Cockatoo was a pick 10, hasn't played.
Just doesn't play, does
he? No, doesn't play. And then Jordan Clarke was pick 9. He looks like he's going to be a brilliant player, but they haven't had much inside that top 10. So this is a great opportunity to try and launch and get a player. It sounds like they may have a player in mind to get a little bit higher. And with Josh Bruce, the Doggies are the other club who seem like they've got issues with not wanting to part with certain picks, which is holding everything up as well.
You outlined a scenario yesterday which was picked up by other media throughout the course of the afternoon and I suppose to paraphrase a longer conversation, ultimately shot down. But it involved Western Bulldogs using their pick 13, 32 and 45 to transact with other clubs. And you're of the view that they had to do it. Ultimately, pick 13 in isolation is too great a number for the Bulldogs at this stage to go down that path, as your reading of it?
Yeah, that's a reading of it. But I thought I didn't mind the deal for everyone. It would have got Jones to St Kilda and obviously Bruce to his club of choice, the Western Bulldogs, plus a number of other things to happen. But I just wonder the Dogs, Alex Keith, Josh Bruce, it really puts them in a strong position for next year versus pick 13. So obviously. Yeah, so a quality kid at 13 versus getting those two in. Obviously, the kid will help you for 10 years.
So you'd do that if you're in charge of the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think so. I just because Alex Keith, I know he's old in age. Not old. I'd say
he's 27.
Yeah, 27, but hasn't played much footy. So I think he's still got, he can play till he's 33, 34 in that regard. And Josh Bruce, they just need something to help out Aaron Norton. So I like those additions for giving up pick 13.
Okay.
In my opinion.
They'd get something back too, wouldn't they, in that passing of picks. But as it stands, 13 is something they want to hold on to. 32 and 45 as it stands, and then 51 and 53. They're the picks they're hoping to somehow use to get those two players across. But as we speak, and it's now getting closer to the deadline of tomorrow night, that the Crows are holding off on transacting anything to do with that on Keith, and as are the Saints on to anything to do with those numbers on Josh Bruce. But unless they unlock the Saints, something for Bruce and Stephen pretty soon, we're going to remain in this stalemate. We might just take a look at it, Lordo. Yesterday, various people attached to these deals that spoke publicly. As always, there's posturing. Our listeners are smart enough to work out what is being said and what is not being said. But we'll take a listen now to a couple of pieces of audio, initially with Simon Lethlean, the footy operations boss at the Saints, talking about the totality of what St Kilda wants to do.
We intend to. We've got, I think, the picks to get it done now. And we're working hard. We're having good conversations with all those clubs and we feel like we'll get there.
Okay, that's all players. That's the pursuit of Hill, Jones, Ryder, Howard, Butler. So he's still confident. This is specifically using a first-round pick potentially. I think he's referring to next year's offerings because a first-round pick this year would almost certainly now have to be used. But this is Lethlean yesterday talking to Channel 9 about next year's first-round pick.
It gives us a bit more flexibility. I'm not particularly interested in moving our first-round pick. I think it's... something we shouldn't need to do.
Yeah, that might have been actually in reference to this year as well. So pick number 12 was their first round, but I don't think there's a chance, Lordo, of the Saints getting all these players in without using that that first pick somehow.
No, just looking at the Saints picks at the moment, pick 12, pick 18, then it goes to 76. So that these Stephen and Bruce deals need to happen. Or there'll be an exchange of picks where they, 12 and moves out, a little bit later, or something like that, just to get these four players in. Not sure where Butler sits in all this. He'd be the fifth
player,
and whether there's another club who can just do an easier deal to get Butler through the door, just that, as that small pressure forward, to help them out.
Not going to require a lot, no. And And if you look at the Saints' offerings, after 12 and 18, their next two and only two picks as it stands are 76 and 82. Strangely enough, for Butler, one of those picks will just get it done from a Richmond perspective. Strangely enough,
yeah.
It's a low pick, obviously, for a guy who's played in a premiership in 2017 and was fringe, wasn't he, 2019, was in the emergencies, wasn't he, regularly.
Yeah.
So still very much near the top of his game, but I think that's what it will all will be required in order for that to happen. Just one more, Lordo, before we continue this conversation about the Saints. Colin Young, a manager who gets his players where they want to get to traditionally, flew into Melbourne. He's Perth-based, flew into Melbourne last night, clearly wanting to ramp up the situation today with his client, Bradley Hill, wanting to get him to St Kilda on that $900,000 a year times 5 and 6. And he spoke also last night.
The Fremantle of all time have wanted picks in this trade period. So St Kilda will have to work pretty hard to appease them and get the right picks for them going forward. To the credit to both clubs, they worked pretty hard over the weekend.
Worked out over the weekend after blowing up talks middle of last week. Currently, Fremantle has picks 7 and 22 in that lofty way. They've also got two very later picks. But 7 and 22 currently sits on the Dockers books, and St Kilda have got 12 and 18. And I would think the starting point still, if it was just to be a straight deal between Fremantle and St Kilda, those two picks, 12 and 18, is what the Dockers will be wanting just for Bradley Hill in isolation.
I wonder what they would have preferred, the six they had or 12 and 18 and whatever else was coming as well. So, but if they can get, how would you view that, that they blew up, if they got 12 and 18 compared to what they would have got earlier?
You could justify, couldn't you? Yeah. You justify saying, well, there's two first round picks. I still would take the six every day if indeed it was offered. As always, and we keep getting told this, there's always more than one side to every story, but we do know the Saints walked out last week when the Dockers weren't budging on two first rounders involving the number six pick specifically, the first rounder for next year and something else. And as we've said a few times, Lordo, they then transacted with GWS to get pick six off their books, and 12 and 18 came back in. It gives them scope to get other deals done. I know there's some commentary around, Lordo, and I could be seen to be inaccurate in saying this, but I still see this one dragging out. It's not simple. It never was simple once he went public, Bradley Hill, with St Kilda being his club of choice, and the then developing problem, in inverted commas, for the Saints with other players also committing publicly. I say problem. It's only a problem if you can't get it done. But the fact that they've still got, as we speak, five players wanting to come through their doors and not one deal. We've known about two of those before it even started, didn't we, in Hill and Ryder. We knew about them 4 or 5 weeks ago. Then Howard was added to that list. Then Jones went public as well. And then over the course of the weekend, Butler confirmed he wanted to get there as well. So it's exciting. And I still reckon they'll get it done, but I don't see an easy way out even at this very late stage.
And just as we sit here, and I agree with you, pick 12 and 18 for Bradley Hill, you'd say about right, you know, and fair. Yet suddenly their next two picks are 76 and 82, and they've still got, you know, obviously Howard, Zach Jones and obviously Paddy Ryder to come in. So how they do it, I'm not sure, without giving up a future first rounder next year.
And the currency on Stephen is clearly, as you've pointed out regularly in this trade period, just not what they are after and not what Geelong wants to match when it comes to moving him off the St Kilda books onto the Saints. And Josh Bruce, we keep looking at the Bulldogs offerings of after pick 13, 32 and 45 and 51. He's somewhere in there, whether he's 32 and something or whether he's 45 and something, given that Alex Keith has to be part of the Bulldogs considerations as well.
And I'm looking at who Bruce would be a straight swap for in regards to the pick you get for Bruce. Do you go for Jones? Is that the Jones pick? Is that the Howard pick?
Yep.
You know, just for what, like for like, just to try and get a deal done. You know, who would be... Would Sydney want more for Jones than Port for Howard? Or who do you
reckon? Would Sydney want more for Jones than Port for Howard? Yes, I reckon that. They would want more than that, yes.
Because there was talk there that Port wanted a first rounder for Howard as well.
Yeah.
So, but, still. So, it's an interesting one there with which one they prioritise out of, if it gets to that point, St Kilda.
The Swans would be and do want a back of first round for Jones. And when I say back of first round, that can be as deep as 20 or thereabouts, given we've got priority picks at play here already. So, yeah, and if they can't get 20, they'd be wanting something at the very latest in the mid 20s. And again, the Saints just don't have that, do they, without delving into next year's offerings. Lord, let's open our IMR Insurance open line up for our callers. They may choose to continue talking about Bradley Hill and the Saints. I can see Nathan has already rung in to talk about that. Nathan, we'll get to you on the other side of this break. IMR Insurance, the tradies, mate. Call 13-IMR.
And I'll have a little more of a Danaher update after the break.
You will.
Too, don't we?
Yeah. Ooh, you set the scene yesterday with that too. So, all right, give us a call. 1-300-23-55-48.
You're listening to The Early Trade for Tyre Power. $100 gift card with BF Goodrich Tyres.
You don't?
You're listening to The Early Trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Tyre Power. The experts every team should trade with.
Colin Young flying into Melbourne overnight, manager of Bradley Hill, to, in his eyes, hopefully wrap up the trade of Bradley Hill from the Dockers to the Saints. That's the news update this hour for IMR Insurance, the October special, one-month premium-free. T's and C's apply. Call 13-IMR, and the IMR Insurance open line is just that, 1-300-23-55-48. Nathan in Craigieburn's on the line, wants to talk about Bradley Hill. G'day, Nath.
Yeah, good morning. Just want to talk about Bradley Hill. The pick six was a fair offer, which basically St Kilda split up into two first-rounders. So if we go pick six, that's basically two first-rounders for Freo. They should have accepted the offer first. Now that they didn't accept, now St Kilda banking's out of the picture, why don't they give their future first? Give the pick 12 as well, get a second rounder back, and a second rounder can break a deal with Zach Jones. And with pick 18, we can get Howard and Ryder. And that way, there's only one player left that we haven't got, which is Butler. And with the, what do you call it, which player was that? There was one more player.
The five thereafter, Hill, Jones, Ryder, Howard and Butler. Lordo, is it?
Yeah, I think it wasn't bad there from Nathan to try and unlock it. But as he said, but you're still giving up next year's first rounder as well.
Yeah.
But, which is something that the Saints don't want to do. But, you know, it's, when you're committed, as you said, Damo, you don't want to let down a player, because you'd never forgive the club if as I said, the ordeal that these players are going through, that often we don't think about. We talk a lot about these guys, but to sit there and be waiting, don't know where Danaher is at the moment, but he must be, how would he be feeling that he's made the big commitment and he just does not look like going anywhere at the moment, and he's got to walk back in there. He's on holidays, I think, but in a couple of weeks' time, he'll be walking back through the halls of Windy Hill or Tullamarine. I'm sure they'll shake his hand and say, let's just get on with it. But there'd be a lot of disappointment, a lot of stress going through the players at the moment, including the St Kilda ones, who they're wondering how to find a way. They'd be ringing their managers nearly every couple of hours. Have you heard anything? Is anything happening?
Yeah.
So there's a lot playing the waiting game at the moment.
Yeah. You get an update for our listeners on Joe Danaher in a few moments. Before we do, just a couple of more calls. Nathan, thanks for your call. The IMR Insurance open line, 1-300-23-55-48. Give us a call. Anything you want to talk about relating to trade 2019. Fetty in Wyndham Vale's done that. G'day, Fetty.
G'day, mate. How are you? It's Fetty. Look, just on the Bombers, just wondering what they're doing about our big-bodied midfielders. Look, I think maybe we should have a crack at maybe Tom Cutler or Aidan Boner from GWS. Solve one of our problems. The other one, look, I'm really happy that Joe Danaher might not be going anywhere, because fighting fit, he's a beast. If he was to go and we got picks 5 and 9, I'd say have a big crack at Jeremy Cameron or Benny Brown from the Kangas.
Fetty, Cameron and Brown are not going anywhere, so I'd rule that one out. But I think you're on the money with your first point on Cutler and Bonner. It wouldn't surprise me if one of those players ends up at the Bombers by the end of this trade period as that inside midfielder. Jury's out on them both, whether they're good they can be at AFL level. But the Bombers are looking. It's just all about list positions, what happens with Danaher. If Danaher can get done or it's ruled out completely, that they might look at trading a player out to get a big-bodied midfielder in by the end of the trade period.
Do you rate Bonner, Lordy?
I got to coach Aiden. He had two knee reconstructions, so he only got to play a handful of games for Haileybury College. But he is what Freddie just said, inside, powerful player. So over 20 metres, he's as quick as they come. It's just his agility, spreading from stoppages defensively is his big area why he hasn't got too many games at GWS Giants. So gets exposed a little bit on the spread, but in tight, he's a really physical, strong player. Going forward, he can take a mark and kick goals as well. So I think he'd get a lot of opportunities at a club away from the powerful Giants, where he's up against Taranto, Hopper, yeah. Canelio, Toby Green.
And a couple of guys, yeah. Caldwell and Haitley, Caldwell could get a game.
Too. So yeah. He's best to get out of there, I would have thought.
Right. Yeah. What number, again, I know it's in exact science, but what number in this year's draft offerings is he worth?
Oh, in this show, well, he went around 11 or 12 in a stronger draft a number of years ago. So, yeah, I think he'd be around that now. He'd be up at that pick again if he was in the draft at this stage.
That high?
Yeah, I think compared to the players that are in this draft this year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So I think a club isn't going to give that in this draft. But I think if someone can get him in the 40s or something like that,
yeah,
he'd be a handy pick.
Handy pick. Yeah. Just having a look at the Essendon, they've got 31 and 33, which might be too high. Yeah. Something will come back, you'd think, if other things flush out. But 57, their next one is probably too low.
Then. Yeah, but the Giants do need to. They're like Collingwood in a sense where they've got salary cap concerns all the time.
Yeah.
Not that Bonner would be costing them that much money, but they may need to turn the odd player around over this trade period as well.
Yeah, and they've also got Tom Green, don't they, to consider for this year's draft as an academy player, and will require a big pick number when it comes to the offers made for him. Lotto, Joe Danaher, you mentioned yesterday that over the weekend, all the Swans, all they could do, the best they could do over 2 weeks of negotiation and maybe even 3 months when it's all said and done, could offer pick 5 and 25, to which Essendon had said flat out no to. Has there been any movement on that situation?
As of last night, there was no improvement, Damo. So as we sit here right now, you hope that another 24 hours of talks may have improved the situation. They are no closer to getting a trade done. And it's interesting, I threw up the names of Florent and also McCartan that, you know, I understand Heaney, Blakey, Mills are no-go zones for the Sydney Swans, but I thought the next layer down from those three is Florent.
Yep.
And Paddy and Tom McCartan.
Yep.
But a big cross has gone through still, those guys still from the Sydney Swans at that point. So I think unless one of those players become, because Essendon draft picks aren't a big thing for them in this draft period. It's more about getting players in because they've bought in so many. They want quality players to replace Joe Danaher, which haven't been forthcoming from the Sydney Swans.
Unless they're the greatest poker players we've ever seen, the Swans, it's still yet, Lotto, to become apparent why they went down this path. Mm. And I say why, because if all you can offer up after 2 weeks of official trade period and prior to that up to 3 months of your own internal negotiations and deliberations, if all you can come up with a 48-hour deadline as it was, on the trade period is pick 5 and 25. Someone at that club should have realised that's not even going to have Adrian Dodoro return a phone call, let alone contemplate that. So I don't know where they're at. Again, unless they are the greatest poker players of all time and are about to come to the table with something that at least makes Adrian Dodoro sit up.
Adrian made the point, didn't he, at the Paul, I think it was the Paul Connors breakfast, where he said about, you know, someone wants to buy your house. You sit back and you wait for that offer. And I think he's not – they want to keep Danaher. So it's going to take something far more than what we spoke about yesterday, 5 and 25. And it is a player. You know, I talk about Josh Kennedy a lot. It's got to that point where there will have to be a player come into this from the Sydney Swans, I think, to break the deadlock and get Danaher to the Sydney Swans. I'm not, and I don't know where Adrian Dodoro's, you know, hit list of where it stands. You know, Heaney's not going to happen.
Blakey's so when you say Josh Kennedy, referring to
the Eagles. So Carlton.
Oh, Josh Kennedy and Judd trade.
I should explain that better. Yep. Where, you know, something had to give, and Josh Kennedy comes. It's a high draft pick. It's Josh Kennedy, and it's another pick 20 as well. So I know Danaher hasn't played a lot in the last 2 years, but Essendon so desperately want him because they know what's their forward line without him.
Mm.
So they're sitting back going, without Danaher, where are we going?
And the other aspect of this too, Lotto, if you're going to have these conversations with Danaher and then in a public sense, almost remove yourselves from the actual approach that Tom Harley clearly made. Now, you and I weren't buying what he said to us on Trade Radio early days, and that's fine. We don't mind how people carry themselves. But if you're going to distance yourself from the initial approach and then not, though, be able to then carry out what it is you do want to do privately, and this is after Danaher went public 2 weekends ago, didn't he? He went public, and that's, in his life, a big step. He could have just sat back and done what Fantasia did and sorted it out privately and then said miraculously, after all, that I want to stay. He actually committed to Swans publicly. So they owe it to him. They actually owe it to him. And with every passing minute, the nervousness, the apprehension, the fear in that footy sense of him leaving the Bombers to go there, it may become insurmountable, even if they do miraculously come up with a deal right now, for him to actually then still put his signature to the document.
Yeah, we heard Colin Young there say how much ground Fremantle and St Kilda made over the weekend. Well, it has to be today. They have to, Sydney, make that big play today where they say, okay, we didn't want to give up this player, or we didn't want to do this, but we're just going to have to do it to get Danaher, the man we've committed to our footy club by tomorrow.
And again, not that the Swans needed reminding, but Adrian Dodoro is wired in such a way that even after last year when Dylan Shiel, again publicly, again early, went public with his decision to make Essendon his club of choice, that deal took until the final 30 minutes, maybe even the final 20 minutes, for it to actually happen, because Adrian wasn't going to budge on what he felt he was worth to get him across from GWS. That was a player who wanted to come to his club, not one that he's desperately clinging on to in contract, who he doesn't want to lose to a rival. Yeah.
And this is also a footy club that I've said a million times hasn't won a final for 15 years. And to me, get taken further away next year with the loss of Joe Danaher. So again, in their minds, John Worsfold is under pressure. Adrian, as a list manager, when you haven't taken a team to a winning final for 15 years, you're under pressure, and suddenly you're losing your prized asset, or despite not playing for 2 years, I know that, but he's the man. You're falling to, as I said, but day one, McKernan, Mitch Brown, Jakey Stringer, that's not scaring anyone.
It's not, is it?
No, so that's what Essendon keep coming back to. Joe Danaher, they're thinking Joe at their best, 60 goals.
The only problem with that, though, is Joe Danaher has been on the list now for 7 years, and it hasn't actually worked with him being on the list either.
Danaher?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I think that if Danaher, Anzac Day, everyone keeps going back to, but Danaher wasn't fit. And he still nearly got his team over the line. So I think that's what we just keep coming back to in terms of fully fit Joey Danaher.
Yep. Let's take a quick call before we take a break. It's Peter on the road. G'day, Pete.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good, mate.
I think this is a trade period where these clubs that have contracted players like Freo and Essendon and in sort of Sydney, that the clubs need to hold the players to a contract. These guys, like especially with Danaher and probably Hill, both teams have built their team around these players, and Danaher being in the leadership group sold the club and virtually committed to Essendon for 5 years when he re-signed 4 years ago, and now he wants out. I think the clubs this year have to take a big stance and say, you're contracted. Papley has to stay at Sydney. He's got 3 years. Hill has to stay at Freo. He's got two. And Danaher has to stay at Essendon for another year. Now, if Danaher plays next year, and he's got his backside hanging on the ground, and he needs to kick up the backside and virtually say, you start putting in and show what you're worth, because, A, at the end of the year, if you want to go, I don't care what happens, we're going to match any offer that any team would put up for you, but you're staying next year, and you need to perform for our team, because we put all our hope in you, and you sold the club to all these players that we recruited over the last 4 years.
Yeah, no, fair call, Pete. And your point about clubs holding players to contracts which were signed in good faith, that has been a theme of 2019, hasn't it? I mean, Orazio Fantasia dominated headlines there for 3 or 4 days, and ultimately the club held him to his contract. They're trying to do the same with Danaher. There's the fullback position that Peter Bell keeps telling us about when it comes to Bradley Hill. Obviously, the Saints have Jack Stephen contracted, and he wants out, but Yeah, it's the draft, or the trade period, to our caller's point there, Lordo, where clubs for the first time in the inverted commas modern era of trading have actually pushed back on contracted players.
Yeah, wonderful call there, and he was tough talking, and he just shows the passion of footy fans that, as I said, I've been retired for 10 years, but I knew when I signed my contracts, my belief was I'll see out that contract.
Yeah.
And it's
amazing. But you're old school.
I know, but it's amazing how it's changed. And I just think that unless you get more and overs for what you feel that player's worth, why should you trade him? Hmm. So I just think it's...
The flip side is the clubs, though, historically have been prepared to move on their own players contractually, haven't they? And that's where the landscape has changed. But this has been a balancing out. And I think Pete's touched on a couple of good issues. Lotto, let's take a break. On the other side of it, let's just bang through a few players who are yet to find homes with a day and a half, or two full days of trade period 2019 remaining. There's a lot of names. They will, most of them, find new homes. They're yet to do so yet. I'll get you to take a look at what lies ahead between now and close of play tomorrow on the trade period for 2019. This is the early trade for Tyre Power. Kumho Tyres, buy three, get one free.
You're listening to the early trade for Tyre Power, the experts every team should trade with.
You don't need Australia's best.
You're listening to the early trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network. And Tyre Power, the experts every team should trade with. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. During Beaumont's mega floor clearance, it's goodbye ugly.
Situation ramping up between the Dockers and Saints over Bradley Hill. Manager of Bradley Hill, Colin Young, flew into Melbourne last night to oversee the final details, in his eyes anyway, of that deal going down. That was the news update this hour for Beaumont. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont's floor clearance. You'll be happy you chose Beaumont's. Lotto, heap of players still yet to find a home. We've got two full days of Telstra AFL Trade Radio 2019 remaining. The names that are still being discussed now were the ones going into the period. Carlton still yet to do anything of note. They want to get in Tom Papley. They want to bring in Jack Martin. We'll, in about an hour's time, be speaking to a player they were always going to bring in Eddie Betts. He was at the back end of what's been going on in this trade period. But their two main targets are yet to be secured in Papley and Martin. Your feel on what happens with those two players between now and close of play?
Well, I think Tom Papley, they're still confident that it's going to happen. I thought without Danaher that they may hold him to his contract, Tom Papley. But Papley, pick nine, get something back in return as well. But the Jack Martin one, what they get back, I'm not sure what they would get back for Papley if they give up pick nine. But the Jack Martin one, their next pick is 43. That's not good enough.
It's not going to be enough, is
no,
it?
No, so I just wonder if they need to start delving into
futures
as well, future second round.
I just don't see a way where they're not going to be required to do that, because the Gold Coast has not budged on what Carlton initially approached, and that was going to be a second round pick. And even just looking at those offerings they've got, there's not an obvious second round pick on that list. So they may have already been talking about future second rounds, and it might have to be a combination of a late first, sort of, you know, early second in order for that to be done. The way I read it, just cannot be going back to the Gold Coast. And while they've got players now recommitting to them, he's still in the old school. He wants out. And that's his right. He's been there a long time, and he's been sold many dreams which haven't materialised. So he wants to get out. He's identified Carlton. I'd be surprised if someone of that calibre, though, was to nominate a club and for then the Blues to not, I suppose, take that chance.
With that one, I'd move him on too. I think listening to Ben King yesterday and the way he spoke about the pack, that, you know, he said, you know, full credit to Rankin. Rankin signed nice and early, and we've discussed it about a few of it, all committing together and trying to get this club somewhere. And I think it's probably a powerful thing to move on, Martin, not take him back within, even if, you know, it's not exactly what you wanted. Let's make a strong stand in regards to getting out a player who hasn't really proved his worth at the Suns and in his own mind wants to leave. So there's certain players you take back. To me, Jack Martin wouldn't be one you'd take back in. I think some players would handle things better. You know, just being able to walk back in. Ryan O'Keefe, for example. Okay, let's just get on with it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Jack Martin.
He's been moping for a number of years, hasn't he?
Yeah, would be the type that you'd take back into your doors. So.
And even selection-wise too, the club, whether it was Stuart Dews specifically, but certainly the selection committee, decided to make him play Neefel late in the year. The decision was made there, and that was questionable because his form was worthy of a spot, but they made the decision. Then, Lordy, that commitment to which you refer there from Ben King, he did speak about that yesterday. For those who haven't heard it, it is an empowering positioning, isn't it, from a man who was still only so young?
Yeah, I guess I found it refreshing in that sense that the football isn't such a massive part of everyday life when you're not at the club, and the media commitments are much less, and the public commitments as well. But yeah, in terms of a week at the club, I think the one thing that stood out for me is that because a lot of the boys there are majority interstate, we're kind of like a family for each other. So not many guys have friends outside of the club up there that I hang out with when we're not at the club. So everyone kind of hangs out with each other outside the club, and we've built a really close connection based off that.
Speaking yesterday, that was Ben King on Trade Radio. A big part of the discussions around 2019 trade period was a man who actually committed to stay at his club, having been there 1 year already. He's now boosted it by 3 years beyond this year. So it's a good commitment. It's a good storyline out of 2019 trade period. So Brandon Ellis comes into that club, Lordo. Possibly paid him more than, certainly paid him more than any other club would have been prepared to, but that's what clubs have to do. There's a need. They wanted to get the free agent out of the Tigers, a two-time premiership player, a guy who's really good in a club environment and is committed to making Gold Coast better. Hugh Greenwood looms as another strong possibility to be joining before close of play tomorrow night.
Yeah, I look at their draft selections. The Gold Coast Suns 1 and 2. Obviously, we know Matty Rowell 1, Noah Anderson 2, pick 15, too early for Greenwood, pick 20 is too early for Greenwood, and then pick 58 is the next selection, which is too late, in my opinion, for Greenwood. So that's one where somewhere in the middle of that, I think, is about fair.
Okay, so Callum Archie yet to be transacted upon. The Brisbane Lions want him. Initially, the Gold Coast Suns were adamant that the Lions had to cough up pick 21 for him. For what it's worth, I think that's too high for him. I looked down that list of the Lions' offerings, 34 looms nicely. It may be slightly unders, but it's about right.
I think you're spot on there, and I'd be pretty happy with that. Archie's got the, he was a high draft pick, to the Gold Coast Suns, but I think Greenwood will have a bigger impact, in my opinion, next year and the next few years for what they need at the Gold Coast Suns.
And if 34 does go back to the Suns, is that about right also for Greenwood?
Yeah, I think that'd be about right. Yep.
Okay, so that solves that problem. Mm. I still expect them, and they may be doing it for all I know right now, I still expect them to come very hard for Brad Crouch as well. I think now that they've got Ben King to settle, they've now got at least public commitments from Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson that they're more than happy to go to the Suns, and I think a lot's going on behind the scenes with that as well, with picks 1 and 2. And it'd be a significant part and a significant play of the 2019 trade period if they could then get someone of Brad Crouch's note to the club late. And to me, they've put a fair bit of work into it. In fact, a lot of work into it. They're ready. It's just whether they want to pull the trigger in that haze and pressure of tomorrow near deadline.
I'd love it to happen because listen to this five. Rowell, Anderson, Crouch, Greenwood and Ellis. So just be five fantastic players to come in and be great for the competition. The AFL would be doing cartwheels. Rowell, Anderson, Greenwood, Crouch and Ellis. You know, just five experienced players, two guns at the top, and then three big-bodied players to come in and support. Andrew Swallow, who's been there, David Swallow, who's been there carrying the fort.
The whole way through, I think.
Yeah. What about Crouch then? 15 and 20 other picks?
I have the view, Lordo, and I keep saying it, and I acknowledge it's a minority view. I think 15 is about what he's worth, but it's not going to get it done. I concede that given he's contracted and the Crows will be demanding a whole lot more than just 15. I look at him as a really good player. That's the pick that Gold Coast has got after picks 1 and 2, and I would think if you did 15 and 20, it's too much. Mm. But who knows? It might loom tomorrow at some stage as being quite appealing to the Suns to go down that path. Would you cough up 15 and 20?
Well, because they've got 1 and 2 and they're pretty much getting a gun big-bodied midfielder in Raoul, who is like Joel Selwood. Just think of Selwood, and he'll have a massive impact next year because he's ready to go. He could have played AFL footy this year. Noah Anderson's your outside running class. Then you've got 15 and 20, and the Suns could package those up and get another pick maybe at around 10. But they've got enough kids. So to me, I'd take the big-bodied Crouch.
And you would use 15 and 20.
And I'd use those picks to maybe get, you know, if they want a little bit more, you know, to get something higher, to give Adelaide with Crouch, just to help out Matty Rowell in the midfield next year, help Noah Anderson, who's going to, you know, play, you know, nearly every game next year. So I think they've got to go past. They're getting their gun picks again with 1 and 2.
Yep.
So you
and they've got the recommitment from Ben King.
Yeah, Rankin's recommitted. He's going to be like a new recruit next year. So they've got enough kids around to where Crouch would be ideal because it's rare. They haven't been able to land. In the past, it's been, you know, all due respect, George Holland Smith, Jordan Murdoch.
Yeah.
These players, not even in the other player from Richmond, Ellis.
Corey Ellis.
Yeah. That's all they've been able to attract.
Yep.
So to attract someone who's just won a best and fairest is really significant, even if you have to pay a little bit overs for what you thought he's worth.
Yep. We might start with the Gold Coast, Lotto, because of the dominant theme with which has been attached to their workings within this trade period with draft picks and concession picks and priority picks and, again, the recommitment yesterday of Ben King and the still scope that lies and is in front of that club to do something significant with the picks. It's also got before the close of play tomorrow. We'll just throw something else at you on the other side of this break relating to the Gold Coast Suns about what they may do in order to wrench Brad Crouch away from the Crows at this late stage. This is the early trade for Ty Power, the first pick of all list managers.
You're listening to the early trade for Ty Power. Kumo Tyres. Buy three, get one free. You're listening to the early trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Tyre Power. $100 gift card with BF Goodrich Tyres.
We're certainly talking. Carlton are tied up in a few other things, so I'm hoping to see a bit of movement on Jack today. But, it's a little bit more complex, that one.
Do you want a first-round pick, Craig, for Jack Martin?
We'd like a little bit more than the future second. So we'd like something that involves a first-round pick, yeah.
Craig Cameron speaking today on SEN. That scenario is one that we'll go into tomorrow, we think, because of the reluctance at this point of the Blues to be coughing up too much for Jack Martin, though they did have an awareness of the Gold Coast positioning on that 2 nights ago, Lordo, to the point where they're trying to do something behind the scenes. So the crossover between late first round, early second round, I think we'll get that done. And we'll stick talking about Gold Coast. It was interesting to hear you before the break saying that with picks 1 and 2, the recommitment from Ben King and other players coming into the club, they're really nicely positioned. You, and I'm paraphrasing, said that 15 and 20, which is their next picks after 1 and 2, would be worthwhile using on Adelaide Crows to get Brad Crouch to the club. If you're the Crows, though, Lordo, I just want to put this to you. There's an Adelaide-based player on the Suns list by the name of Jack Lukosius, a big name this time last year when he went high, number one in the draft. Hasn't, unlike Ben King and unlike Isaac Rankin, who were also drafted last year, committed to the club beyond his initial contract, which is at the end of 2020. I don't hold that against the young kid waiting and just trying to see what does lie ahead for him. He's only 19. He's got every right to just stick to his initial contract. It's a standard two-year contract for a player drafted. That will take him till the end of 2020. If you're the Crows and you're going to choose to at least listen to the Gold Coast Suns requests on Brad Crouch, you're obliged to raise the name of Jack Lukosius, aren't you?
They can try, but it'd be crazy from the Gold Coast Suns. You just say no straight away because you've got, you've taken him pick one for a reason, Damer, and you believe he's the best kid in the country. I think most would have thought that he's the best kid in the country. And so work on him for another 12 months to make him, you know.
To make him feel like Ben King is feeling, to Isaac Rankin is feeling, and even Noah Anderson and Raoul are feeling before they even get there.
Yeah, so I just think that we know what Brad Crouch is. I think he's important for the Suns to, you know, bring in some experience to try and help keep some more Gold Coast Suns players up there through guys who have played in the grand final or been in and around some success. There's not too many players. That's where brand analysis is significant. You're paying that extra bit of money because he can come in and they'll be hanging off every word Brandon Ellis says. Yeah. I think the coaches will be hanging off every word Brandon Ellis says because what did Damien Hardwick do here? How did you set up your defence? How did you lock the ball in the forward line? So I think Crouch is important for that sense. But Lukosius, yeah, to part with a number one draft pick 12 months in, you've sort of given up thinking – you can, yeah, so it wouldn't matter what player it was, you keep your number
So the challenge for the Suns, therefore, is to get Adelaide to converse at the very least without having Lukosius as part of that conversation. Yeah. And that may just be impossible because they will take the view, the Crows, if they want to have the negotiating tools out. But they also gave up a lot to get Brad Crouch as one of those 17-year-olds, wasn't it, going way back. Now best and fairest winner, under contract. They will argue that they're the ones who are doing the favour in having the conversation. So, yeah, you can see that conversation, though, as I'm assuming it's already been had and will probably be at least broached at least one more occasion between now and close of play tomorrow.
The only fact that would come in is if Lukosius is behind the scenes saying, I'm absolutely miserable.
Yeah,
in 12 months' time, I'm going to go. So if there's any way it can happen now, can you do it for me?
Yep.
That's the only way I could possibly see it happening. That's obviously a big hypothetical.
Well, in that regard, do you – again, I'm bouncing around here, just bouncing off what you just said. Adelaide's got pick four. Do you throw up Lukosius and take back Adelaide's pick four with Crouch?
Yeah. I mean, Adelaide are regenerating. They're saying, we just want draft picks. So Adelaide, I'd be shocked if they haven't been trying through the Brad Crouch and pick four and all those sorts of things, throwing it at the Suns. It'd just be the Suns would be going, no, do not ask. They could be saying, do not ask, bring him up again because he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
But if you could, anyway, you'd be trying to ask a question to get them thinking because Adelaide are starting again in a sense with the amount of players they're clearing.
Can you start
out
again with Lukosius?
Oh, they'd be Adelaide would be magnificent if they could bring in Lukosius. Yeah, he'd be probably their number one target of every player in the country right now would be Lukosius for Adelaide.
Okay.
Yeah, to get him back.
So therefore pick four that Adelaide owns would, in your eyes, be a good starting point for that.
Yeah. Sure.
A couple of other names too, Lord. As we said, Hugh Greenwood will go down today. It's been in the offing for some time. Josh Jenkins, to just stick with another Adelaide player, still hasn't changed what we thought 2 weeks ago, and that is that it's going to be done late if it's going to be done. And it's playing out that way, isn't it? He's always going to be that player in the last hour to 90 minutes of trade period for a club that has either just completed the deal it wanted to complete or one that hasn't yet got involved.
This is a sad one, Damo, and I don't use the word sad too often in footy because it's a brutal industry, but I just really worry for Josh in that he's one player that can't really go back to the Adelaide Crows. They've amicably decided that it's best for both parties, but to see him so quickly, possibly not have a club, that's what I fear for Josh Jenkins. So I'm just hoping someone that some deals can be done so someone late in the piece can take Josh Jenkins, because at the press conference that you and I did to open trade period, pretty much saying he will take a big significant pay cut. He just wants to play AFL footy, so I hope he's on a list next year because I think most people feel he's too good not to be on an AFL list next year.
Yeah, and there's too much money attached to that deal he's got with the Crows remaining for 2020 and 21 for him to just walk away. He'll have to honour it, which means he'll have to go back
and, to the Crows,
and if it is Matty Nix who's going to be announced today or tomorrow or some stage of this week as coach or whoever it's going to be, maybe that's the first thing he does, just to see if the landscape has changed significantly enough. But you're right. I go back to that press conference and the lead up to it. He was of a mindset where he just couldn't bring himself to walk back into that club at all, could he?
No, he just it's hard for him. But I just wonder even if the Crows would say to a club, have him for $250,000. It's off there. They save $250,000. They're still paying they'd be still paying $400,000 for him next year, the Crows.
Probably more.
But still, just to save $250,000, he's a player they don't want. So it gives Josh a lifeline somewhere.
Somewhere.
$250,000, well under the minimum wage.
And if they're going to the draft, as you've said many times, that they will have some scope to do it. And given there's so many names coming off their books, inclusive of Eddie Betts, who was still on good money on a contractual sense for the Crows for next year, now confirmed as of yesterday to be a Carlton player. And Lordo, he'll be joining us on the early trade here, won't he, in about half an hour's time? Keen to have a chat.
Yeah, can't wait to talk to Eddie Betts. And we heard Cam Ellis-Yeoman on one of our interviews early last week talk about, you know, the culture and how it, you know, fell away since that 2017 grand final appearance from the Adelaide Crows. So Eddie might not want to go down that track, but I'll be interested to see how he feels about, you know, why he needed to leave the Adelaide Crows, because you couldn't have predicted at the start of, we were all in shock when we heard it first announced that he may be leaving the Adelaide Crows. So a lot of people would have loved for Eddie to finish at the Adelaide Crows, but unfortunately it hasn't finished that way for him.
It hasn't, and we'll hear from him, from the man himself, in about half an hour's time on the early trade for Tyre Power. Lotto, let's open up the IMR Insurance open line again. IMR Insurance, the tradies, mate, call 13-IMR. But call us on 1300 2355 48. 1300 2355 48. Anything you want to talk about next on the early trade.
You're listening to the early trade for Tyre Power. $100 gift card with BF Goodrich Tyres.
You don't need a
You're listening to the early trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network, and Tyre Power, the experts every team should trade with.
You're listening to the early trade for Tyre Power, the first pick of all list managers. This is Telstra AFL Trade Radio. Telstra, Australia's largest mobile network with greater reliability and faster speeds in more places. The open line is just that, 1300 2355 48 for IMR Insurance. IMR Insurance, the tradies, mate, call 13-IMR. Heap of calls to get through on 1300 2355 48, starting with James in Caulfield. G'day, James.
G'day, guys. How are we?
We're well, mate.
Yeah, I just wanted to chat about the Cats. It'll be interesting to see if they do anything last minute on trade period. I felt getting the Tim Kelly deal done early and also bringing Gaz and Harry back, it makes you wonder if they've got their eyes on someone or if they'll just go younger and bring in all these kids. But it'll be interesting to see this last minute and see what happens.
Yeah, James, it's a really good point. They've got the scope to do both. Stephen Wells has made public commentary dealing with both aspects of what you've said. And I think crucially, they got the deal done early. You're right, the Taylor and Ablett recommitments are part of the whole process too. They went early with those. And even as we speak, with picks 14, 17, 24, 36, 37, they can go either way with a day and a half of trade period remaining. Lotto, do you have a feel for what they do?
I believe that Stephen will be a Cat. I just think that St Kilda need him out. I think they need to get Stephen out financially to get these other players in as well, you know, from a pick perspective. So I think get Stephen in, improve your draft position will be the two key aspects for the Cats. I still wonder if there could be a ruckman. Zach Smith left yesterday.
We'll leave
for the Gold Coast Suns. So just wonder if there's a ruckman that can be there as well. I know they've got Stanley and Fort and a few other young
Radigalea,
ones.
Radigalea, who's going to be used.
You know, it doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence, so I just wonder if there's something up their sleeve in that regard to, you know, bolster their ruck stocks as well.
Okay. Yeah, James, I'm with you. I think it is a watch this space and what Stephen Wells does between now and 7:30 tomorrow night. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Olivia now in Melbourne. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, guys. Look, I just want to inquire in terms of, you know, players and clubs turning around saying they're contracted and holding them to that, but then saying the intention, like with Danaher, that they want them staying at the club. How does that come into play with the AFL Players Association? And also, in terms of, I heard that it's a potential four-way trade with the Danaher deal. Is that likely that those other three clubs the Swans are looking at, perhaps maybe they need to get in other draft picks that aren't going to cut the 5 and 9 deal?
Yeah, it's all possible. The moment you bring a third party in and then a fourth and a fifth, it gets even more complicated than it already is. And it's already been very complicated, as we all know. You're referencing there to the AFLPA. I think they just have to stay out of it. It's ultimately got nothing to do with them. They're there for the player's interests if need be, and if a player is aggrieved enough to feel the need to report some form of dealing to them, I'm sure, in fact, they would get involved on those occasions. But most players are open to all the conversations, good, bad, or indifferent, until they know the outcome. And I just don't see a place for them getting involved in any of this, Olivia.
No, it's just from my end, Olivia. The AFLPA were great for little for things for me, you know, with trying to better yourself off field. But when it comes to deciding whether to stay at your club or not, it's always with your manager and your football club. That was about it.
Yeah. Olivia, thanks for your call. Let's go down to Hobart now, where Josh has joined us. Hi, Josh.
Good morning. My question is, if the Western Bulldogs don't, or I've read a few things about the Western Bulldogs not wanting to pay up too much for their trade targets this trade period, do you think that they'd be better off going after Josh Jenkins if they don't want to cough up for Josh Bruce?
Look, it's a good question, and it is still something that could fall out. I still see Bruce going there, and what they've done, the Dogs, very clearly and meticulously, is identified these two players, haven't they, Josh and Lordo, in Keith from Adelaide and Bruce from the Saints. They've got commitments from them, at least in that private sense, to want those deals to go down. I'd be surprised if they didn't still go down at this late stage. And while the Jenkins one is always going to be there, I don't necessarily see him being the answer to what the Bulldogs are hoping to get out of Bruce. Like, they are different players, aren't they?
Yeah, Bruce probably is a bit more physical, sort of bash and crash at times sort of player. Yeah, you know, works high up the field. He can support Tim English in the ruck and pinch hit if they need him to. I know Jenkins has done a little bit of that as well. But I look at all this posturing going on. I think the Suns want Jack Martin out of the club. I think Bruce, you know, they've moved on from Bruce at St Kilda. So although they're all wanting the best possible deal, you'll find that, you know, it gets to the deadline tomorrow and they just roll over on things. They wouldn't have rolled over today, but they'll roll over tomorrow because they need, you know, they need players out of their football club for other things to happen. But because the trade finishes tomorrow night, they'll posture for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, Josh, thanks for your call. Let's go to Morwell now, and Jason joins us. Hi, Jace.
How's it going, fellas?
We're well, mate.
My question, I heard something last night. I'm a Bomber supporter, that we might be able to pick up, like, Tom Cutler and Andrew Phillips. Is that true? And is there anybody else that we're linked to?
Tom Cutler has had his name linked to the Bombers, as has Aiden Bonner. Lordy spoke about both of those players about half an hour ago. And look, I think they're both possibilities, aren't they, to get there. Maybe Bonner, a preference, the way I'm reading it, yeah. Jason. But you're right. And sorry, who was the other player you asked about? Andrew Phillips.
I think that happens.
That'll happen.
Yeah. Because the way it's worked is he's actually knocked back Jason, a one-year deal from Carlton, which suggests he's got a deal somewhere else. And then Mark Pitney, or Pitnet, wherever you like to call him, from Hawthorn, he's been linked to Carlton as that replacement for Andrew Phillips to be back up to Matty Cruiser. So the Ruckman, as they do, will move clubs plenty of times throughout the trade period.
Yep. Jason, thanks for your call. I think, Bonner and Cutler are names that will come up again tomorrow. So we'll bring you information once we hear it. One more before a break. Matt's in Geelong. Hi, Matt.
The Cats need to take a gamble on Steve.
Yeah, look, you've cut out there. I think you got your statement out before you did cut out, and I think that was pretty much all you needed to say.
How big a gamble?
Take a gamble. Yeah. Are you still there, Matt? How big a gamble? Now, we might leave him there, but look, I'm with you on this. Because it's been so public now, Lordo, that he wants to get there, and there's an acceptance of that from all parties, and while there is posturing over whether he's worth 37 or a bit lower in Geelong's eyes, I just can't see how this doesn't happen. Stephen Moles get things done. He got what he had to get done early. He got what he wanted to lose Tim Kelly to West Coast. He's got the beautiful scope now. He's probably doing things we don't even know of. You're big on him trying to get down lower in the draft with picks 14 and 17 and 24 to be packaged up somehow to get down lower. But look, 37 in his ideal world is probably 15 to 20 spots lower than he would have liked to have initially offered St Kilda. That's how it's landed for him. That's what he's got. He's always been a person, Stephen Wells, to use what he's got to get the deal done, be it a player to move out or someone to come in. So I'd be surprised if that didn't go down.
And a fit Jack Stephen physically and mentally, he's not going to replace Tim Kelly, but at least go pretty close compared to what else is there. You know, I look at Menengola, really struggled this year. They'll try and get Constable to come through, but Jack Stephen has that dynamic power and speed at his best. If he can get a good pre-season in and a new, fresh environment around Dangerfield and Salwood and those sort of players, it'd be a wonderful acquisition, but only if he can get himself right mentally, which we hope he can.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest from our callers today, Lord. As this trade period winds, it's way into the deadline tomorrow night, so I think we'll keep the line open on 1300 23 55 48. We're about 15 minutes away from being joined by Eddie Betts, so we'll need to clear the decks before then. But before then, let's keep that line open, 1300 23 55 48, the Imar Insurance open line. Imar Insurance, the tradies, mate, call 13IMAR, but call us on 1300 23 55 48. This is the early trade for Tyre Power, the first pick of all list managers.
You're listening to the early trade for Tyre Power. $100 gift card with BF Goodrich Tyres.
You don't need...
You're listening to the early trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Tyre Power, the experts every team should trade with.
Hold it together, Lordo. You've still got another 44 minutes before you take off to the States. Matthew Lloyd joining us for the last time, 2019 Trade Radio. He's leaving us for the grand final tomorrow, but he's got a business trip over to Vegas and LA. So we'll discuss that in greater detail before we close our time together. But we opened up the open line, 1300 23 55 48. That's the Imar Insurance open line. And again, lots of callers, lots to discuss. Matt in Wollongong, you're first. G'day, Matt.
Hey, Damien, how you going?
Well, mate.
Just had a thought, just with the Cats' long-term sort of ruck plans, I do agree it's a massive concern because I, as an avid Cats fan, I've got no idea who our long-term ruckman is, even coming through VFL, things like that. We've got options, but not someone that I think is locked in. Someone that I'm actually big on, and I don't know how, you know, how we could get it done, but it would be Sean Darcy from Fremantle. I'm a big rap on him. I don't know where he's from, but I just sort of think if that's someone that we could get and then look at for another 10 years, how could that happen? And I also think that Menegola, for a couple of clubs, maybe Essendon, maybe St Kilda, maybe North, those sorts of clubs, I think that he is a good investment. If they came and said, here's 3 years, Sam, I've always thought that if given sort of top-shelf midfield minutes, it, like as a first-choice sort of person, he actually plays really, really well. He's had to do it in the past. There might be a demand for him for certain clubs. I'd be curious on your thoughts on those 2 points.
Yeah, I'm with you on both points, Matt. I look at what Richmond did, and they identified Toby Nankervis as a player who was a quality ruckman, just not getting a chance behind Naismith. And it's just turned them around. It's turned them into a... It's helped them win two premierships over the last 3 years. I don't think they would have won premierships without Nankervis in the ruck. That's how significant he's been. Geelong, for mine, just cannot go into next year relying on Reece Stanley again. Reece Stanley may well have some good games, but he's not going to be there when the whips are cracking. I don't think Geelong can win a premiership with Reece Stanley as their ruckman.
So unless they do something between now and tomorrow night, they can't win a premiership.
I will not be backing them to win a premiership unless they find... And I think Matt's right. Sean Darcy is a guy... Matt, he's actually from the Geelong area off the top of my head. That he's the type of player... Invest in someone of that note where you know they could possibly be a clear number one ruckman. He can play for the next 10 years. He's strong. He's bullocking. He's got to get fitter. But they need to have a crack at someone, not a stopgap.
And, like, and what are they using, Lordo, to Matt's point? I mean, what draft picks? 14, 17, 24, 36, 37. Would you be prepared to use?
Well, there's plenty of options to get Sean Darcy, a player who I believe could hold down number one ruckman for 10 years. So, if it took pick 24 to get him.
I don't think they'd allow that, though, would they?
What's that?
That wouldn't get it done. The Dockers wouldn't allow that, would they?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think that's the thing. With Sandilands going, you're probably right. Sandilands retiring, it makes it difficult for them. So he might be a cross off the list. But they should have a list. They should have a list of four or five ruckmen.
Yep. Even at this late stage.
I'd hope they would have been thinking about it all along and they just haven't spoken. But Todd Goldstein, they had a crack at it for 4 years.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't Goldstein, don't just abort the plan. Mm. Actually go, okay, but we missed out on him. Who's next in line? And it's not for me, Phillips and Pitney. They're backups to number two. It's actually trying to identify someone who could be your number one ruckman.
Yeah.
In round one of next year.
You've been adamant about this all year. Yeah. You keep referring to the qualifying final, which Geelong went into, without Reece Stanley, part of it, by choice. Mm-hmm. And he came back for weeks two and three in finals, but the decision was made in a qualifying final to leave him out. So, yeah, Matt, you've identified a strong thought process of Matthew Lloyd, and Lloydie cannot win a premiership with the current rucking arrangements.
And Menengola, he's replaceable at Geelong. So... if it means you can get Menengola out to get in a ruckman, will you do it? Because Menengola can be replaced by Constable.
Yep.
It can be replaced by Jack Stephen or whoever it is, whereas there's no ruckman at Geelong and it just hurts them time and time again.
So when you hear Stephen Wells say this, we're about to play, Lordo, I'll get your take on it. This was said on Trade Radio last week, Stephen Wells, about the Cats' rucking situation.
A lot's been made of our ruckman, hasn't it? And to be fair to Reece Stanley, he had his best year with us, and we think he's on an upward trend. We had a crack at Todd Goldstein. So far as we can tell, we're not going to be able to get the superstar ruckman that are in the competition. Yeah. So we're happy to keep working with Reece and the other ruckman that we've got. Asava Radicalea's got a great future as a forward ruckman, we think. But no, right now we're not out trading for a ruckman to bring one in because the ones that we would have an interest in are not available.
Okay, well that was to us actually last week on Trade Radio. Stephen Wells talking there. You've got a different view that there's still time to do something and fix the obvious hole they've got. And for you to state that so categorically that there's no chance of a premiership with their current rucking situation, well, I reckon people like Stephen Wells would be listening.
They are an organised club, one of the best clubs in it, but I use the word delusional. Like for them to talk Reece up, but then they couldn't pick him in their first game, I thought the Blixarves was an absolute dog's breakfast through the final series.
Wow.
I just, as I said, I'm adamant.
And yet they were 21 points up at half-time and of a prelim final.
Yeah, that's true. But at the end of the day, I just think they got steamrolled and it wasn't Reece's fault. They've got a lot. They do a lot right, Geelong, but still that is a missing link for me.
Okay. Yeah. Matt, you've touched on a strong topic there. Thanks for your call. Let's go now to Kane in Adelaide. I hope it's not the Kane that we know, Lordo. How are you, Kane?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks yourself.
We're well, mate.
We thought Cornsy was on the line, Kane.
No, not him. I've just got a hypothetical trade between the Crows and the Bulldogs. If the Crows were to send Keith pick 23 and pick 28 and then receive back pick 13 and 32, would that be fair for all parties involved?
Look, it wouldn't be simply because the Bulldogs don't want to use pick 13. It was a scenario that Matthew Lloyd played out partially, what you've just raised there. He had a few other planks to it. Ultimately, it was similar in its origins to what you just outlined there. But ultimately, pick 13 is one the Bulldogs clearly, to this stage of this trade period anyway, don't want to use in order to get Keith initially and then Bruce also from the Saints. So I think, Kane, whatever scenarios are at play here, 13, as best we can tell, needs to be taken out of the equation, at least as we sit here today with a full 2 days to go of the trade period. But there needs to be something to break this impasse that is occurring between those three clubs. But thanks for your call. Let's go to Josh now in Tasmania. G'day, Josh.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate.
That's good. I'm just calling in regards to Melbourne's pick number three. Obviously, a big Melbourne Demon supporter. Just wondering, are we going to try and split that pick or just keep it for the draft? I had one scenario. Obviously, Lockie Whitfield, that's a bit left field. He's out of contract next year or a free agent. Is it something we can try and reach out to GWS potentially with pick number three?
Look, you need pick three and pick four, I reckon, just to even at least get the Giants to take a call about that, and even that wouldn't get it done. And no, it's not going to happen because they're going to let him play next year and they're confident of retaining him. All indications are, Lordo, they use three in the draft, isn't it? I haven't heard of anything. No. I mean, Josh asked, will they split it? Will they move back a bit? But I think all indications are they'll use it.
Yeah, they've already got Langdon. They've already got Adam Tomlinson. So, yeah, use that pick in pick three in the draft, and we've just been reminded of the high swap, pick swap. They broke, you know, they moved away from pick two and took, you know.
It's one of Paul Ruse's first edicts there, Lordo, and it was questionable at the time.
It got them two picks. It got them Salem and Tyson, so Christian Salem and Dom Tyson, but they gave up on Josh Kelly. So I know as good as Salem has been, Josh Kelly wouldn't he be the ideal player to be playing for Melbourne right now?
He did it for the now, didn't he? He made the decision knowing it would come back to get them at some stage. But it, although having said that, I thought Josh Kelly, and I've been the greatest Josh Kelly fan of all time, I thought his back half of 2019 was by his standards and his final series, particularly grand final, disappointing. Josh, thanks for your call. Let's go to Werribee now. Ben. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, mate. I'm just wondering what's going on with the Bradley Hill deal and if Port's going to get involved.
Look, there's still no significant update, Ben. We do report, and everyone else has been too, that the manager of Bradley Hill, Colin Young, has flown into town. He's obviously going to try and get involved and roll the sleeves up. He does get his players where they want to get to. All the noises in the past 24 hours have been positive again from a Saints perspective. We don't know the specifics or the how, but I just don't see how it doesn't happen, even though it's been protracted and prolonged to this point. But we both reckon he'll get there, Bradley, and I think there's a feeling in the past 24 hours the Saints are back seriously committed to that being the case. In their eyes, they always were. It's just that they lost their scope once they traded pick six out in a significant way. But, yeah, we both think he'll get there, Ben. Obviously, we'll update you once that does develop. But one more before the break. Will in New South Wales. G'day, Will.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good, mate.
I just got a question, two questions actually. One about Josh Jenkins. Like this amazes me. He's obviously not, you know, as good as Buddy Franklin, but he's pretty good. I'm surprised no club has even looked at him. Like, for example, the Bombers. You know, you talk about McKernan and Brown under Danaher for now. Like, surely, you know, Jenkins would be a good pickup for them. And just from both of you, a simple yes or no answer, does Danaher get to Sydney?
Put us on the spot there, Will. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm not confident in saying that, Will. It's a good question because it doesn't have a yes or no, does it, without requiring some detail behind it. But, I still think he will, but I don't see how at this stage.
And it's amazing how Josh Jenkins is getting all the callers going. It gets Dangerfield, I know it's his friend, but talks about the upside, even Terry Wallace and yourself and I, Damon. We all like Josh Jenkins, but I think the clubs obviously are looking at what he can't do a lot, and that is that he's had poor games in big games, and he gets out the back and all those sorts of things. But he's also a powerful, hard runner for a guy the size that he is, and he would take a lot of pressure off some other forwards across the competition. So he's won by tomorrow night. I'm hoping that clubs look at. Yeah, they've got other things they're trying to do at the moment, but he finds a new club by tomorrow night. That's what I'm hoping.
Yep. Well, thanks for your call. We need to go to a break. On the other side of it, we'll be speaking with Eddie Betts. Yesterday confirmed leaving the Crows to go back to his original AFL club, the Carlton Football Club. A lot going on in Adelaide. We'll speak to Eddie about that. Expectations were yesterday that Matty Nix would be appointed coach. That has been pushed out to probably today, Lordo, and if not today, tomorrow. But that's moving down that path as well. But next on the early trade for Tyre Power, Eddie Betts, Carlton footballer, to speak to us on the early trade.
You're listening to The Early Trade for Tyre Power, the experts every team should trade with.
You don't?
You're listening to The Early Trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network. And Tyre Power, the experts every team should trade with.
You're listening to Telstra AFL Trade Radio, Telstra, Australia's largest mobile network. This is The Early Trade with Matthew Lloyd and Damian Barrett for Tyre Power. Kumho Tyres, buy three, get one free. Football is an emotional game, and emotions were overflowing yesterday when Eddie Betts, the great Eddie Betts, walked back into the Carlton Football Club. Eddie Betts joins us on the line now on Trade Radio. Eddie, thank you for jumping on the phone line. Can you please describe the feeling you did have yesterday when you walked back into Princes Park?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It was...
It was a little bit emotional. Like I said yesterday, I haven't been back for 6 years since I left, and walking back in was a little bit weird, but it was a good feeling, a good weird, and I got a little bit emotional knowing that I'm back where it all started, and it was tough. It was really tough to make the decision to leave the Adelaide Crows. You know, they've been a close, tight-knit with those boys and players for the last 6 years, and I guess making that change and moving back to where it all started was exciting for myself and my family.
You've given it everything, Eddie. You gave it everything for Carlton when you kicked 292 goals before you took off and kicked another 308 for the Crows. And you're going to have that weird situation where you're going to be loved by two football clubs no matter what happens for the remainder of your life. Just referring to, as you did there, to the tough decision you had to make. Obviously, it's up to you as to how much you reveal publicly about your situation. But what was it that convinced you that you needed to leave the Crows and head back to where it all began for you?
I guess, you know, thinking back on it, it was just the right time for myself, from where my footy's at, my career's at, and with my family too, having four young kids here in Adelaide with no support. That all came into factor as well. And I guess that's when we basically made the decision that, you know, we might move back to Melbourne.
When did you make that decision, Eddie? Because I was in shock when I first heard the possibility. Because would you have thought that at the start of the season, or did something happen throughout the year that made you think, okay, it might be time for a move?
Lordy, I didn't think at the start of the year. Like, I've always think I was going to finish my career at the Adelaide Footy Club. And, you know, it wasn't until about a month and a half ago where it really got serious. And then a possibility of me going back to Carlton. You know, we had a few offers from Gold Coast and Carlton, and I turned the Gold Coast one down, and I thought, if I'm going to move, it'd probably be back home to where it all started, back at Carlton. And, like I said, it was a tough decision, but I'm actually wrapped and excited, and I can't wait to get started.
But what triggered it, Eddie, 6 weeks ago? Was it that you weren't getting the best out of your footy? Was it that you had some indifferences with the club? What actually triggered that moment 6 weeks ago?
I guess, you know, just if you're looking back on the year, and the last 2 years and the footy we played, and it was a tough decision, and I guess I just believe that it was the right choice for myself where I'm at in my footy career. You know, as you're getting older, I'm 32, but I still believe that I've got a lot to offer. I guess I just had to make that decision. I guess nothing really, really triggered that, Lloydie, to be honest. I wouldn't say that I wasn't unhappy. And you get that happiness when you're winning, and you know, the last 2 years, and you would know yourself playing footy that you know, a great culture and environment is a winning environment, and you know, it's been pretty tough here for the last 2 years, and you know, I love my time here at the Adelaide Footy Club. They've treated me with so much respect, and you know, they opened their arms to me, and not just myself, my family as well, and not just the Adelaide Footy Club, the wider community in Adelaide. And you know, I'm going to be missing dearly, but like I said, I'm excited to get back to Carlton.
Yeah. Eddie, you're referring to tough moments there. Lloydie and I spoke to Cam Ellis-Yeoman last week about some of the turmoil that had been at the club, and he was quite open about what had happened to it since 2017. Obviously, the camp was part of it. What are you able to tell our listeners now about that aspect of your dealings with the club and how much you were affected by all of that, the 2 years?
To be honest, listen, I'm not here to talk about the camp. I'm just talking about, you know, me moving back to the Carlton. I'm excited by it, and I'm really looking forward to going back. I know playing footy, we haven't played our best footy in the last 2 years, and we as players, we have to own that. You know, we've lost games that we were up by 30 points, and, you know, teams come back and overrun us. And like I said before, you know, it's good winning feeling when you have around the footy club, but when it's up and down, it makes it hard to enjoy your footy.
Yeah. The Blues are going to still be active, we believe, between now and close of play on the trade period tomorrow night. You're the big name they've got in at the moment. What do you know, and have you had dealings with Jack Martin privately and also Tom Papley?
No, I haven't, but
I really do hope that the boys can get it over the line, and you know, Carlton can get Papley and Jack Miles, because they're both wonderful players. And I'm thinking about texting Jack and asking him where he's at with that, because I know as much as you guys, you probably know more than me. But hopefully that they can get it over the line.
Yeah,
I think he's overseas at the moment. He's in Italy or somewhere.
Is he? Yeah? Is he? Yeah. I know. One thing I do know, he wanted you to be part of what they're doing. So, yeah, that's a fact. Are you close with him?
I am close with him. And what I do know is that when I spoke to Carlton, the first thing that Jack said was, "Is Eddie coming?" hopefully, you know, me coming, and hopefully they can get him over the line, and it'll be great to have him at the Carlton Footy Club.
What can you envisage playing alongside him at the Blues, Eddie?
Just excitement, you know, just let him loose. More games at the MCG for Jack Martin, bigger ground, bigger crowds as well. I think he could, you know, flourish. Someone like Tom Lynch from Gold Coast, he came over. You know, Tom's a different player, but playing on the MCG for Richmond, just absolutely loved it and dominated. I think Jack can do something like Tom. It'd be very special for the Carlton Footy Club, and he's still a young player, and I think he's still got a lot to learn, and I think he's going to be a fantastic player.
Eddie, with your arrangement with Carlton, you've signed a one-year contract with Carlton. Was there, obviously, have you done a deal outside of that as well, or is your intention to play more than this one season before you move into an off-field role with the Blues?
That's a good question, Lordie. I spoke to the footy club, and I said, listen, I just want to play footy. I just want to enjoy my footy, and I want to have fun. And at the moment, that's what I'm going to do. And if my body's holding up, my body's well, you know, we'll talk during the year to play on. And my form is going to dictate that as well. So at the moment, I'm going to be working with Zach Dawson, working in the club with the Carlton Academy, with the father-son, father-daughter. I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, like I said, all that will come during the year. So once I start playing footy, once I start getting into it, we'll start talking about, you know, most of that stuff during the year.
Eddie, are you a student of the game? Are you aware of your own achievements in the historical standings and rankings of the game's greats?
Not really. I don't really, you know, go too much into that. Sometimes I don't know, it's weird, but like I don't think about that kind of stuff. But a lot of people do tell me that, and I'm like, nah, it can't be. I don't put myself in that bracket, no. And I don't really listen to all that kind of stuff.
The 600 goals, which you've got exactly to this point of your career, and the 316 games in total, is either of those numbers more important to you than the other?
To be honest, I've never thought I'd ever play 50 games. And to play 316 is unbelievable. And hopefully I can play a few more years if my body holds up, and I would take the games over goals. I don't know. I like kicking goals, though. I think Louis would say the same. You like kicking goals?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Have you got a favourite, Eddie? Have you got a favourite? Of all the highlight reel packages, there's probably 60 that would make an all-time great list. Have you got a favourite?
You know, my favourite moment, to be honest, and this is a true story, is in the prelim we played Geelong, right? And we played Geelong to get into a grand final at home, and watching Charlie Cameron dominate, like my little brother, on that day, kicking 5 goals, would be one of my favourite moments of my whole football career.
Yeah.
I was on the bench at one stage, and I saw him take a big specky in the goal square, kick his 5th, and I just jumped up with excitement and just couldn't believe that this was happening, and for him to dominate on that was one of my favourite moments.
On that, then, I love listening to those moments like that. The Sydney Stack moment, where would that rank in terms of great moments? Because that was powerful throughout the year.
I think that'll be up there too, yeah. Lordy. You know, we were having beds at the whole footy game, and you know, Sydney was getting stuck into me saying, no special goals tonight for you, Eddie. And he smothered a snap that I had in the pocket just to play before that. And came up and said, I told you. And then that moment after that, I looked at him and he smiled at me, and he knew it, and I knew it. Yeah. And then I was like, I told you I was getting one.
Eddie, are you aware of the general love of you from every single football supporter?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, you know, every time I play, like the last game, actually, to be honest, I was down in the against Bulldogs, and I was in the goal square, and all the Bulldogs supporters were cheering me on, and I was like, I was standing on Eastern Wood, and Eastern goes, "See, mate, they loved you." And I was like, "Why? we're playing against you guys." And I don't know, to be honest. I'd just like to go out, play footy, smile, enjoy it, and just have fun.
I reckon that's the reason they love you.
I'll just continue doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What about any living arrangements? Did you hold on to a house in Melbourne, or you never thought you'd be coming back here? So what's the situation there? Yeah.
I've got two houses in Melbourne.
Oh, great.
So we held on to both of them, and we'll be moving back into one, but one needs renovation in Brunswick West, so we'll renovate that. If anyone wants to help us out, we'll give a shout out. But yeah, the kids will stay. Louis and Anna will stay here in Adelaide, so Louis can finish his schooling for this year, and then I'll move over at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, again, you touched on it before, Eddie. Just how much does it mean now that it's all said and done, and the next time you're picking up a footy in a real sense, you'll be back in a navy blue jumper. What will it mean to you when that happens, and when you run out in round one next year on a Thursday night in front of 100,000 people playing against the reigning premier?
To be honest, Damien, it hasn't really sunk in this year, and obviously it means a lot to go back and play for the Carlton Football Club. All my life, member, you know, played 184 games. I just can't wait to get back and get stuck into it, and you know, help develop our young forward line. We got down there and worked with Cameron Bruce, the forward line coach. So, and I just want to be thankful to both clubs, Adelaide and Carlton, for you know. A smoothly transition coming back to Carlton, and thank my management group to W Sports Media for them to get it done.
And as you sort of sit here today, are you able to put a goals scored tally on what you want to get out of 2020?
You're talking about kicking goals?
Yeah. I mean, people are speculating. Are you capable of kicking another 50, 60? Are you going to sort of temper it a bit and maybe just think 35 is okay, provided you help Jack Martin and Tom Papley?
Well, you know, the last 6 years, I've kicked, you know, 60, 75, 50, 50, 40s. Then I had injuries 27 and 38, I think, this year. So, to be honest, I don't go out there to try kick goals. I go out there to make my teammates better. I go out there and enjoy it. And if someone's in a better position, I'll always give it to them. And the goals come last. You know, put the pressure on, put the tackling on. But, you know, I don't want to put a tally on it, but I do love kicking goals. And if those big guys can crash the packs, Charlie Kerno, Nick McGovern, Harry McQuire, then I'm surely us more can kick some goals.
Yeah. Hey, mate, really appreciate your time. We've probably taken a bit much of it more than we said we would, but it's just been such a good chat. We know our listeners love hearing you talk, and obviously every single Carlton supporter today, yesterday, and certainly between now and round one next year will just be as excited as they've been in recent times. And thanks for sharing the story. Thanks for giving us some background to the decision, and obviously the excitement attached to your voice when it comes to you thinking about what lies ahead.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dan. And thanks,
Lottie. Eddie Betts, you can just hear it in his voice, can't you? You could have talked to him another 20 minutes, half an hour, and not got sick of it. And love how he says he doesn't go out to kick goals, but knows exactly how many he's kicked in each of the last couple of years. And I reckon he's got a 50 in his mind for next year. As strange as that may sound as a 34-year-old.
Just as you said, I've got a mate of mine, Sean, who loves trade radio, and he just sent a love heart with Eddie Betts, just saying how the attitude to his footy and how refreshing that interview. He makes you smile listening to him in an interview. He makes you smile on the footy field. So great to have him back in Melbourne. I think, as you said, Thursday night footy v Richmond, MCG.
I actually can't wait for that already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Add an extra 10,000 people in that audience just to watch Eddie Betts return.
So a forward line that we think is going to have Eddie Betts in it, Charlie Kerno.
Yeah.
You're going to have Tom Papley at the pack somewhere.
Jack Martin
maybe up on a half-forward flank and a wing. Harry McKay. Mm. Cripps surging forward.
Walsh surging forward. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, you can see why this decision, while it's a football decision first and foremost, the spin-offs financially and commercially and and membership wise, and obviously we don't need to tell our Carlton listeners what they need to do, but for those wavering and those who've maybe let it go, carltonfc.com.au membership.
Yeah, and what I found interesting was he was not going to delve at all into saying anything negative.
Yeah,
we tried. We just wanted to get an insight.
We have to try. Yeah, our listeners know that we have to try, and we did, and he gave us nothing, and we moved on.
Because last thing he wanted this to be about was the Crows. He wanted this to be about thanking the Crows, but how excited he was about being back at Carlton. So he handled that interview extremely well.
I've genuinely got excited about what the Blues can do on the back of that, and it's obviously just words, isn't it? And ultimately, the 34-year-old body will be determining what he can and can't do. And look, he did say this year, I mean, I loved how he rattled off how many goals he'd kicked in each of the 6 years at Adelaide to the goal number. Mentioned, though, in referencing the 30-something goals he kicked this year, that he was injured. And that clearly was playing on his mind. And hopefully he can shake that injury and have a pre-season and then just get out there again next year.
33 next month, he is, don't
33 next 33 month. 33 next month. Yeah, okay. 33 next month. Mm. So 33 going into 2020. Yeah. Yeah, the Jack Martin combination. The alluding there to Jack wanting him to be part of it. You can see now why the Blues will spend between now and tomorrow night getting that one done, and then the big one in a trade sense anyway. And it's going to require pick 9 that they've got to give to the Swans to get done. Will involve Tom Papley, but they'll get something back on that, Lordo. It may well be the Swans pick 25 or 44, whatever comes back. But we've been saying since day one of trade period 2019 for pick 9, if Carlton is to give that to Tom Papley for the Swans for Tom Papley, that something as well as Tom Papley would have to come back, and that's the way we see it even now.
Yeah, around that 25 as you just touched on, which the Sydney Swans have. And yeah, could they possibly knock on the door of the finals next year? We just reeled off some pretty special names. We saw what Brisbane did, 6 wins to 16.
Yeah.
Full preseason under David Teague. I think they won around the 7 or 8 games.
In the end, they did,
So it shouldn't be too hard to win another 4 to try and knock on the door of the finals. And Eddie Betts, one thing that he hasn't won, you asked about goals and games, he's never won a premiership, so he might need to try and play on another year or so with the Blues to get anywhere near it.
To do so, yeah. Lotto, Liam Pickering spoken today on SEM Breakfast about James Ace. Just paraphrasing that, he did say that the deal was on to go to the Dockers medical today. Yeah. So that seems as though it's unfolding as we speak, and that was mooted on Trade Radio yesterday. Do you like that move?
Yeah, he's been a solid player. I think he's toughened up a fair bit at Collingwood over the last 12 months or so, but his body's let him down. But it's amazing what line coaches see in players, and Justin Longmuir has been the line coach at Collingwood of James Ace. So he's identified something that he sees, and he's obviously, since he's been appointed, he's gone to Fremantle and said, I'd love to have James Ace. They have salary cap issues, so it works well for Longmuir and for Ace for long-term security.
All right, Lottie, we're going to say goodbye to you now because you're leaving us for the grand final on our own devices. You've been with us for the duration of 2019 trade period on the early trade for Ty Power, but you're off on a business trip to Vegas and LA. Yeah, with mates tomorrow. So, no, thanks for your past 2.5 weeks, and our listeners have loved you on early trade.
Yeah, thanks. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, Damo.
Early trade for Tyre Power, Kumho Tyres, buy 3, get 1 free. We're done. Sam McClure and Nick D'Alessandro on Trade Mornings Now.
You're listening to the early trade for Tyre Power. $100 gift card with BF Goodrich Tyres.